Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is the reading of God's word. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Oh, Father, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. Through your word, let us hear your loving voice telling us what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Let us see our heavenly reality, what is true of us in Christ, in heaven, now and forever, so that we may rejoice. Who may give you all the glory, honor, and power, and thanksgiving. O Father, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son. Let us grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us witness Christ wherever we are, whatever we do. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For I am confident of this very thing, Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you remember what Paul is saying? Every time he thinks of the members of the Philippian church, he gives thanksgiving. And with joy, he prays for them. What makes him do this? And we talked about this last time. A simple answer is his faith. And this verse shows us what Paul believes. And because of what he believes, he does what he does. He says, for I am confident, or I am certain, in other translations. What is he confident about then? What is he certain about? Well, he is confident that the salvation that we have is from the beginning to the end, the work of God. God and God alone accomplishes it perfectly and completely. Paul's confidence is not in himself or in others, but only in God. Paul lives with faith. He lives with the confidence of God, or confidence in God. And this verse 6 is our confession. Are you confident, brothers and sisters, that God who has begun a good work in you, he will perfected that day when we will see Jesus face to face? What we are talking about here is, who is God? What kind of God do we believe that he is? You say you believe in God. What kind of God do you think? Or do you believe that he is? All-knowing and all-powerful. He plans all things and he has absolute power to carry out all of his plans exactly according to his will. God cannot lie and he does not change. is Almighty God. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have taken refuge, would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Two unchangeable things, that God does not lie and God does not change. So that you could be certain of his promises. Does he have almighty power to do what he wills? Is that what you believe? Does he love you? Is that what you believe? All the promises that he made to you in the Bible, do you think it will all come true? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This God that we believe, he has already started a good work in us. Now, what is this good work? What are we talking about? Well, in the context of Philippian church, if we go back to read Acts chapter 16, verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. This opening of our hearts to receive God's word, to believe God's word, this recreating us anew by his word, being born again, or born from above, giving us faith to believe. This is the work, a good work that God has begun already in us. Now, next question is, how do we know that God has started this good work in us? How can we know it? Simply put, do you believe? Then, he did. If he did not start that good work in you, you would not believe. You cannot believe, and you will not believe. So are you confident that he did start this good work in you? Yes, because you believe. Then God's promise is that he will finish that work. That's his promise to you. You can have the confidence. And he will finish it until when? It says until the day of Christ Jesus. Until Jesus' return. until the day when all will be visibly consummated. And even now, through His Word, God tells us what kind of man or woman will be that day. There are too many verses to read today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Now, what kind of man or woman are we going to be? We're going to be like Jesus Christ. That His work will be finished one day. And when that happens, you will be like Christ. Now, when you look at yourselves, when I look at myself, there's no way I'm going to be like Christ. Oh, no. Is it impossible for God to make me like Christ? Because I am so not like Christ. Right now? See, it's all about what kind of God do you think or believe that He is? Can He do this? Or you're just so hopeless that even God cannot do it? Second Peter chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that we will be partakers of the divine nature. That God's image will be perfected in us. And when it comes to what Christ has accomplished, we already talked about this so many times. There's always these two aspects to what He has accomplished already and not yet. We're already resurrected spiritually. That's what we believe, that our spirit has been already resurrected, but bodily, visibly, not yet. So there's already resurrected, but not yet resurrected. God tells us that He has seated us in the heavenly places, so we are in heaven already, but obviously, visibly, not yet. Whatever that we are talking about, when it comes to the benefits of what Jesus has accomplished, there's always these two aspects, already and not yet. So spiritually, we are already like Christ, but not visible. But we will be like Christ visibly when He returns. So as we live our lives here right now, we believe the already and live the not yet with the hope and the certainty of the visible consummation on the day of Jesus Christ. This is how we live. We believe the already. And as we live, we have hope and certainty that already reality will be visibly consummated when Jesus comes back. And all this is God's work. That He who began a good work in you, He will finish, He will perfect it. In spite of me or in spite of you. But I said that word in spite just to make a point. Because when God works, you will also work. It's all God's work. Thus, there is no boasting. You know, the most ridiculous thing is that you boast about how spiritual you are. And you meet some of these people out there. It's just so ridiculous. See, all is God's work and His grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "For who regards you as a superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Why do you even boast as if it was your own work? And if it is not your work, then why do you boast as if it is? That's Paul's point. I don't want to dwell too much on this, but, you know, I get... It's just people boasting about their spiritual life. It just makes me, yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." All this God's command, and I already told you this, He commands it because Jesus Christ has already accomplished it. If Jesus did not accomplish it, then His command to you is a curse and judgment because you cannot obey it. You obey only in Christ. So it says, work out your salvation. Okay, I have to do this. But, He says, work out your salvation, but what? "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." If our salvation depends on us, then no one will be saved. All we could do is sin apart from Jesus Christ. Go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Now, I'm going to read from verse 5. But when you go home, read all the way to verse 44. But I'm not going to do that. That's just kind of too long here. But pay attention here. Verse 5, it says, "And say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and swore to my descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them saying, I am the Lord your God," and He goes on. But remember this. He says, "I chose Israel and I swore to the descendants of the house of Jacob. I chose and I swore. Then, you go down to verse 8. "But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt." it's very clearly written that the sinners, they rebel against God and they sinned. That's verse 8. But verse 9. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nation among whom they lived. In those sight, I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. All these sinners were doing is rebelling against God. They were just sinful. But He brought them out. God saved them. Go to verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live, and my Sabbath they greatly profaned. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to annihilate them. Now, this is, okay, now they were just sinning in Egypt, but God saved them. Now they're out in the wilderness, and they were still rebelling against God. But verse 14, again, but I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nation before whose sight I had brought them out. Verse 22, but I withdrew my hand and acted, but the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, nor were they careful to observe my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. For profane my Sabbath, they profane my Sabbaths. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Again, same story. Verse 22, but I withdrew my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. This is the story. Do you understand? God promised to Abraham that I will save your descendants, and I will bring them to the land of promise. Those descendants of Abraham, did they really help God do this? All they did was rebelling. And yet, God kept His promise. He carried out His plan exactly according to God's will. The zeal of God accomplishes all things. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 31, for out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace, Messiah is talking about, on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's the work of our God. God who began a good work in you, He will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Does this mean that I could just be lazy and sin more and more? Well, it is God's work, so I could just sin like whatever I want to do, huh? No. When you say that, you only shows us that you don't understand the gospel. Look at what God says. When God starts a good work in us, He continues to work and He finishes that work. That's what He's saying. So how can you sin more when He's working in you? Look at the promise. Read the promise. It says He begins the work and He continues to work and He will finish that work. That's the promise. If that is true, if God is working in me to make me more holy, then how can I continue to rebel against God to the end? It cannot be. Think about it. If God is working in me to be like Christ, then would I not be more and more be like Christ? I mean, if think about it. If God is working in me to do this, then will I not do that? Put it in a children's terms. If God is making me more holy, will I not be more holy? God's work in us is effective. He doesn't fail. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, that hope of being like Christ, that hope, anybody who has that hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. But, of course, this process is, to our eyes, slow. And sometimes, it could even look that you're going backwards. Because His work in us takes lifetime. When I look at myself many times, it looks as if I am not being sanctified at all. But what I must do is that I must believe and repent of my sins and trust God, trust His promise to me. It's not when you look at your sins, you go, oh, God is lying to me. He's not working in me. No, when you see your sin, you repent. Stop sinning. And you trust God, and you trust His promises. Believe. And when you do that, God is working. God's promise to you is that He will finish the work that He has started in you. He will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. No matter how it might not look to you as it is, you must believe. You always go back to the foundation. See, this is how you do it. Because when you look at yourselves, like I said before, when I look at myself sometimes, sanctifying? No, it doesn't look like that. I don't change that much. And if I do change, it's backwards. So you wonder, because Satan will always take that opportunity to come to you and give you this false understanding. You question, am I saved? Is God really with me? You question. And every time that happens, you have to go to the beginning. Do I believe? Do I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he lived a righteous life for me? Do I believe? Well, if I believe, that means then he did start a good work in me. But if he did start a good work in me, that means he will finish it. Believe. God's word is not given to you so that you may become discouraged. And isn't that interesting that Satan will even use this kind of verse to discourage you? But further is, there's nothing further from the purpose of this verse. God gave you this verse so that you could have confidence. But see, you read this kind of verse saying, oh, if he started good work in me, he will perfect it. But see, you do not believe. So your conclusion is, oh, then maybe he did not start that good work in me. Well, then, and you become discouraged. Why? Because you do not receive God's word with faith. And without faith, nothing, nothing will be accomplished. So please don't be discouraged. And I hope that no one here will do. Because previously, people who are not here, they heard this kind of preaching and result was that they're actually discouraged because, whoa, I'm going to be perfect. There's no way I'm going to be perfect. Look at myself. I'm not changing. He's not working in me. Look at me. There's no way he's working in me. So I'm not it then. And then they just become more discouraged by these kind of verses. Do you see how that could happen? You know why that happens? Because they do not receive God's word with faith. They don't believe. But believe. He will finish that work that he has started in you. No matter how it does not look like to your eyes that you are sanctifying, God is still working. And you must believe. You know, at this time, let me just read to you God's promises in the Bible. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Meaning what? All that the Father gives me, Father chose his people even before the foundation of universe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. That Jesus will lose no one. All those people that the Father has given him. The last day, all those people will resurrected to glorify life. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. No one can snatch me out of Jesus' hand. And no one is able to snatch me out of Father's hand. You know that double protection? First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who will confirm you to the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 through 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. What will come true? That God himself will sanctify you entirely. And your spirit, your soul, your body will be preserved completely without blame. Because faithful is God who calls you, and he also will bring it pass. Bring it to pass. This is God's promise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are protected? You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. You are protected by the power of God. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 through 25. Now to him, God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? As long as you believe, continue to believe. His work in you will be perfected. Believe. But as you believe, you will realize that faith will bear fruits in your lives. It will. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Whatever that concerns me, Lord will accomplish it. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hand. But Psalm 37, 28 says, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his holy, his godly ones. They are preserved forever. Yes, Hebrews 13 verse 5b, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will never leave you. He does not abandon. He will never abandon you. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Yes, you sin. But who will bring charge against you at that day, at the day of Lord Jesus Christ? Who? Who will condemn you because of your sins on that day? You know, Satan can come to me all he wants and say, look at you, look at all your sins, look at all those stupid, you know, sinful things that you do. How can you say God is with you? How can you say God loves you? It's so obvious that God cannot love you, person like you. You know you're guilty. And when Satan say all these things, you just have to, you cannot but say, yeah, you're right. I am guilty. I am sinful. I am so filthy. But you don't stop there. But I know what my Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. I know what he has accomplished for me. On that day, even you, Satan, you cannot bring a charge against me because all my sins have been condemned and already judged in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, yes, you sin, and you sin much. But no one is able to bring a charge against you in the court of God. Because your sins are paid for and your sins are forgiven. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? No one and nothing. Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What is Paul saying? You know, when you live your Christian life, there might be tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. You might even die, but that is not the proof that you are separated from the love of Christ. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? No one, nothing. Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered a sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, even if we die physically in this world, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced. Here's that word, convinced. You remember, I'm confident. I'm certain. Now I'm convinced. that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who began a good work in you, he will not leave you, he will not forsake you. And his love for you, no one, nothing can separate you. This is God's promise. And you believe. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you out like wheat. But I, Jesus says, but I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That Jesus Christ prays for you. He prays that your faith will not fail. Do you remember how do I know that God has started a good work in me? How do I know? Because I believe. I have faith. And here's Jesus Christ praying for me that my faith will not fail. Which means always. Any moment in my life, now from when I see my Lord face to face, any moment I could be sure of that He, God, has started a good work in me. Because my faith will not fail. And once I'm so certain of that, I'm also certain that He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. And that His love for me will always be there. No one and nothing can separate me from His love. And I'm also so certain then that His work will perfect it. Will be perfected in me. That His God's image will be perfected in me. That one day as I see my Lord, that I'm going to be like Him. This is God's promise. And I don't care how you look to yourself when you look at yourself. I don't care what you think of yourself. I really don't care how discouraged you are right now. Just listen to God's promise and believe. And have certainty. Have that confidence that Paul is speaking of. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I, we too are confident of this very thing. And I pray that by God's grace that all of us here, every one of us, will be confident of this very thing. That God who began a good work in us, will perfect it until the day of Christ. Thus, brothers and sisters in Christ, thus our life is all about hope and certainty and confidence and thanksgiving and joy. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you We thank you that you have started a good work in us. And we thank you that you will never leave us, never forsake us, that you are working in us. And Father, we thank you that one day when Jesus returns, we will be just like him. Oh, Father,